Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Amen, amen. Pastor Dave's back there. If you want to be in Big E Kids this morning, this is your time to go ahead and make your way to him, and he will lead you back to the classroom. Pastor Dave's over here. He'll take you. You'll have a great time this morning. All right. Now, the lights are going to come on. Trust us, they will be there, because God said, let there be light, and then it'll come later. And so, I kind of need the light, but you can kind of see this. You know why there's margins on papers? It's kind of faint, but you can see the lines on the paper, and there's margins on the paper. Do you know why there's margins on the paper? It's a good question. Yeah, my two youngins who are not, Mason, you're not my youngin', but you're a youngin' in the room. Why do you think there's margins on the paper? Well, you little turkey. Okay, so somehow you knew this, but this is true. You can thank these guys right here. Mice and rats, okay? They might not love, or they do love paper. They don't know how to read or write, but they do love the taste of paper. And so many, many years ago, paper companies, to protect kids' homework assignments, their homework that they were going to turn in, They decided to print these margins so that the kids would stay within the lines and probably be safe from the rodents who would eat the edges of the paper, because typically they would stay around the edges. And so that's how margins came about. It's pretty crazy, but there's a great principle in protecting what you want to protect, protecting what is important. And so we've entered into a new series. We started it last week, called Draw the Line. And I kind of came up with this sketch on my iPad that we'll throw up on the screen here as well. What we like to do is get as close to the edge, but we're saying let's establish some margin. Let's draw a line so that you actually have something protected. You have space that you find valuable that you want to protect. Now, typically we'll get as close to that edge, but we're in trouble if we cross that line. So we're saying let's back it up. Let's have some space so that we're not against the edge where there's going to be trouble. Let's just be smart, create some space, and create some margin. Because our tendency is to cram everything into the schedule, and that's what we do. We live life close to the edge, and so in our schedule, we spend up all of our time. In our money, we spend all the money, there's nothing left over. We push our limits morally. We think, man, I know this is sin, but I want to get as close to that line as possible. And when we live life all next to the danger zone, we're going to feel overwhelmed, we're going to feel anxious, and we're going to be full of worry, because we know one little mess up here and we're in trouble. We get eaten by the rats, right? We know. Like, we don't want to, we think, don't cross this line, but we sure live up to that line. And life is hard without margin, okay? But when you don't live life with margin, when you're living on that edge 24/7, 365, life can be unbearable. It's hard because life is tough. But when we don't have the space that we need, that extra space, and we're living next to that edge, life is really, really tough, almost unbearable. And so we have a little handout. We gave you a definition of margin. I want to make sure that you get it down. Margin is the amount available beyond what is really needed. It's the extra. It's the reserve. That's what we're trying to create, this extra space, okay? It's beyond what's really needed. Let's the reserve. So in your schedule, this means you got time to rest. You've got time to relax. You have time to play. And financially, it means that you do have money left over at the end of the month. Okay, that's what the margin is. Emotionally, it means that you have the space to deal with the stress that comes because you've given yourself margin. Morally, it means that you've backed up far from the line so that if you do cross your line that you drew back from the danger zone, you're not really crossing lines into sin, into immorality, into something you really didn't want to cross into because you've given yourself the extra, the space, the margin. We all need it. We all need to draw some boundaries. We need to draw the line to have the necessary space because everything's going to thrive in the space. That's not, okay, if you have no space, you're surviving. But if you get the space, you start to thrive. And so today, we're going to focus on margin in our schedule and in our time. You're thinking, I don't have the time to create margin. Well, we're going to, okay? We're going to take some time today to be healthy in creating the margin in our time. Because the truth is, God created time. And if we manage it well, there will always be enough. And if you're thinking right now, there's not enough time in a week, not enough time in the day, there's not enough time right now. Listen, there is time. God made time. And if we manage it well, there will always be enough. And the key is manage it. We don't own time. So the most logical thing that you could do is to go to the one who does own time, who created time, and say, this is your time. I want to manage it well. So you, God, help me schedule it. Help me prioritize it. Help me and my family make the most of time. Help me to embrace the important things and do what you want me to do with the time you've given me, because I want to manage it well. And the key is you got to trust him with that. You have to trust him, knowing he would know what's best for your time even better than you. And some of you, that's going to be a battle, because you think you know what's best with your time. Sometimes you think God's off, God's wrong. And you're going to need to step back and say, okay, God, I got to trust you with it. Even when I think this would be really good for my family, but I'm going to trust you with it and go to you and ask you, what do you want me to do with my time? I want to manage it well. Because honestly, deep down, most of us know God's in control of our days, right? Don't you believe that? He's in control of our days. And I know people that don't believe God. And when life gets really tough, suddenly they're like, hey, pray for me. I've seen people in medical situations that don't give a rip about God message me, text me, and say, hey, would you pray for me? Because deep down, they're saying, I know God's in control of my days. Right? I've had those messages. I've had people approach me and say, hey, something serious is going on. Pray for me. A lot of thoughts and prayers go up at that time, right? Because people are saying, even though I haven't given God a second thought, right now I'm agreeing someone up there is a higher power in control of my days, and I need that person to help me. Well, we know who that is. Well, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's a family member. I know someone personally that put their faith and trust in Christ because their child had when they were a baby, a heart condition that was very serious, and they didn't believe in God, but were like, God must be in control of our days, my kids' days. And so they ended up praying to God and then coming to know God through Jesus Christ. But at first, they didn't believe. But then when something major happens, it's like, someone's got to be in control of this thing. Why would we wait until something was majorly, like, life-threatening? Why wouldn't we just go now? Why do we have to wait till it gets really crazy and chaotic and it just seems really out of our control to go to God and say, okay, I can't control this. I can't handle this. What if we just admitted that now? You can't control your days. I can't control my days. Well, let's go to the one who is in control and just say, God, how should I lead this time you've given me? What do you want me to do? I'm going to sit down with you, open up the entire calendar and say, it's yours. This is your time. What do you want with it? Why wouldn't we do that now? See, God is in control, and he knows about tomorrow. James 4:13 says this. Look here. You who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will look like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. Poof. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Listen, we don't know tomorrow, but we know the one who does. And the one who does know tomorrow tells us this over and over again, specifically in the Proverbs, be wise with your time. Be wise. Let's unpack that a little bit. Let me just read some Proverbs. Proverbs 19:2 says, enthusiasm, passion, without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. Which means if you go on without thinking, just out of pure passion, you could lead into problems. It's like, don't be hasty. Proverbs 20, verse 18, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. That would even apply to worry. You want to win the war against worry? Come up, get plans through godly counsel. Be purposeful in your planning and your thoughts. Don't just move ahead without giving thought specifically to your time. Proverbs 21, verse 5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. In general wisdom, it's good for us to know you plan well, you get a higher chance of success. Again, if there's no planning, if you're just being hasty, it's going to get you into trouble. Proverbs 27, verse 12, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Those who have no thought don't take the time to plan. Just move forward without any consideration of what would be godly or what would be good advice or what would be wise is going to end up in trouble. We'll suffer the consequence. We need purposeful planning in all arenas of our life. Specifically today, we focus on our schedule and our time. And I believe if we could go to the one who created time, who created us to manage it well, and we said, what do you want us to do? Say, hey, listen, I want you to have this margin, this space in your time. So today, I want to give some counsel. This is very practical, I know. But I think it would be helpful for us today to look at four strategies for creating margin in time. Okay, this is very applicable and practical. But four strategies in creating margin in time. Here's the first step. One, recognize your time is limited. This is very sobering today. But we need to start there, and we need to recognize your time, my time, our time is limited. We often schedule our time like it's not. We don't give consideration to our time being limited. We think all our days are on tap. We pull that handle, we're going to live as long as we want to live. That's not the case. We can't just pull the handle and get as much time as possible as we want. We know that there's an end, but we think it's a long ways away. But we don't know that, do we? Our time is limited. Scripture teaches us this. Our days are actually numbered. Aren't you glad for this positive chat this morning? Hey, listen, our days are numbered. James 4:14, we just read, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. We can skip over that, but our life, compared to eternity, no matter how many years you get on this earth, is short, right? Proverbs 39:4 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. That means get over yourself. Like you don't know how much time you have. Verse 5, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We don't know when time ends for us. God does, and that's one of those things. We have to trust. We have to believe. We just know, okay, you're good, God. You're going to make God-like decisions above our pay grade. Job, in his pain, he declared, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we're not given a minute longer. See, our time is truly limited. And it'd be wise of us in helping us to create margin to start with that. Okay, our days are numbered. My time is limited. I only get to be a teenager once. So take advantage of that youthfulness. You only get to be 20 once, 30 once, 40 a couple times. And then you got to move on to 50, 60, 7. But see, here's the thing. We don't know where the life ends, right? But whatever it is, it's only once. Your moment today is only once. You don't get this specific moment tomorrow. It's today. And so we have to live in the present. And margin begins to happen when you realize God is in control of the time and we've been given a limited amount of it. That is the starting point, this awareness that our time is limited. Because when we grasp the brevity of life, we begin to prioritize properly. That's the goal, is to realize my time is limited, so I should probably put priority on stuff that really matters. In fact, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to realize the brevity of life. Why? So that we may grow in wisdom. Why do we need to realize our time is limited? So that we can grow in wisdom. We can do the wise things. that we wouldn't be foolish with the time that we have spending it on junk because we don't know when it ends. And so if we would have more margin in our time, it would be because we realize our days are numbered. And if God knows, God, I want your advice on how to spend this time. Suddenly you're going to have wisdom about how to cherish the time that you have left, no matter how much it is. I mean, if you think about it, if you knew you only had 1 month to live, your life is going to look different from here on for the next 30 days, right? I guarantee it. So why couldn't we maybe start putting that principle into practice for us and say, okay, our time is limited. Now, we don't know when, but why don't we seize the day as it is the day? And that would bring us some wisdom and clarity of how to live this life. I've read a story one time of a man who was 50, and he did some calculations, just assuming, now this is an assumption, that if he made it to 75, how many Saturdays would that be? And it was 1,300 Saturdays. And he put 1,300 marbles in a glass vase. And so every Saturday after he turned 50, he would take a marble out and throw it away. And so he literally, every Saturday, was numbering his days and watching these Saturdays dwindle. I think that would maybe kind of give you perspective about how I should prioritize my life. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that, but even mentally, it would be wise of us to say, okay, I got a limited amount of time. Let me use this for God's glory to the best. The second strategy for creating margin is to make the most of your time. Okay, if our time is limited, let's make the most of the time that we have left. A month ago or so, we talked about time as a currency. You can invest time, you can spend time, but here's where there's a disconnect. We can't save time. You can't really store up extra time. When it's spent, it's spent. It's gone. That moment's passed, that minute's passed, that day's passed. Once it's gone, it's gone. And so you can't add a single hour to your life. You can't add a minute. You can't add a second to your day. Even if when Jesus says, you know, it's time to come home and your day's end, you can't say, nah, sorry, Jesus. I saved up 3 more months. You didn't see it. I tricked you. But I'd actually put aside 3 months so you can send me on back. No, we can't save time like that. We can't store it up. And so we got to embrace the present. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, some translations will say, making the best use of the opportunity. Here, the ESV translates it time because it's the Greek word kairos. It is time, but it's divine time. It's not chronos, which is linear time, chronological time. It's a divine moment. It's a divine appointment. It says, make the use of this divine moments that God gives you. He's saying, live your life in a spiritual way. Be careful how you walk. Okay, it is an evil day. And so embrace this time in a spiritual manner of speaking. Know that God has a purpose for your life. And embrace these divine moments, these divine appointments that God has placed before you. Make the most of your time. So, again, practically, I want to help us. How can we make the most of our time? I think there's two questions you need to drop into your scheduling decisions. When there is a decision to be had about your schedule, about how to spend your time, I think there's two good questions to ask yourself. Number one, what is the wise thing to do? Okay, in light of my dreams, in light of my goals, okay, in light of my family, in light of my hopes and dreams, my past experience, in light of what kind of marriage I want to have, in light of what kind of parent I want to be, what is the wise thing to do? Should I add this? Do I sign up for that? Do I commit to doing this? Is it wise? Not necessarily is it right or wrong. Sometimes that is a question you need to ask and it's clear. But when it's not so clear that this is evil and this is righteous, it's more neutral in its color. It could go either way. You ask yourself, but is it the wise thing to do? In light of what my hopes and dreams for my whole family, for myself, what we're trying to accomplish, is it wise to do? And that should add some clarity to all of our calendaring issues. That's not typically how we do it. We just add. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. Especially if you have a tough time saying no. Your schedule's like a big old balloon, and at some point it's going to pop. You just fill it up and fill it up and fill it up, and there's no more space, and then it blows up. And so the second question we need to ask is, what do I subtract? Okay, what's the wise thing to do, and what do I subtract? Because you're not going to create margin if you keep adding. The question needs to be, what do I need to take away to create the room to be as healthy as I can be in my time and schedule? There's probably going to be some things that you need to cut out so that you have the necessary space to thrive. And so what do I need to subtract? Our sending church is Pine Lake Church in Brandon, Mississippi. It's a mega church. A mega church helped us get started, and they're wonderful people. Pine Lake Church, they were here over spring break, at least some of the student ministry was helping us, and we've had a great partnership over 8 years, actually 9 years now, because it was 2012 when I was first moved there to be trained and all that good stuff. But in talking with the lead pastor of Pine Lake, which there are over 10,000 people now, he said when early on in ministry, he had lots of hobbies, softball and basketball and hunting and other sports. And he did a lot of hobbies. And as his time began to be more a demand of, he realized he couldn't keep that up to be the dad he wanted to be the husband he wanted to be the pastor that he wanted to be. And so he said, I got to cut out all these other hobbies and just pick one. He's from Mississippi, so he picked hunting. And that was like, okay, when I'm going to get up, because we need a hobby. We need time for those R&R, and that hunting was his choice. And that's what he's like, I'm just going to keep one. It was a wise thing to do, okay? What's the wise thing? For me to be what I need to be, I got to ask that question. Well, I can't do all these things. So what do I need to subtract? I'm going to subtract. I like these other things, whether it be golf, whether it be fishing, whatever. I'm going to pick the one that I know will give me the R&R that I need. And so at some point, you need to subtract. The third strategy is understand that your priority determines your capacity. Your priority determines your capacity. Someone is going to determine how you spend your time. That's something we need to realize. Someone is determining how you spend your time. For a lot of us, it's us. No one writes in your calendar but you. Okay, for some, it's a team effort, you and your spouse. You get together, and we're looking at the family calendar. Some of you kids really are pulling at your calendar and maybe even take priority over some of these things in your life, and they determine how you spend your time. For some of you, it's a boss. Okay, we all know that we've had those moments where we wanted to accomplish things, but we feel like so many other people got the hooks into our time that when it came to the end of the week, we didn't get done what we wanted done because other people were determining how we spend our time. And that can be a frustrating experience. But somebody is determining how you spend your time. Well, one of the problems is we tend to allow the urgent to push aside the important things in our life. And we need to be very careful that we understand that our priority is going to determine our capacity. And so if we let the urgent push out the important, we're going to end up missing out on some things that we wish we would have done. A lot of times, what doesn't make the calendar is working out or eating right or being healthy or the reading or whatever it may be, because these urgent things have come in and we haven't taken care of our health. We haven't spent the time with the kids we wanted to. We didn't spend the time with the grandkids. Our marriage isn't doing well. Our friendships aren't doing good. We didn't get that R&R because we let these other things push it out, and we were never in control of how the calendar went, of how we spent our time, because what sometimes is important doesn't get written down or doesn't have priority, and we let other things become the priority, the most important thing, and they take over. We let the urgent take precedent over the important. And if we're not careful, we let what's critical go. And the other things that really could have been done else at another time or shouldn't have taken over, they end up ruling the roost. But if we would prioritize correctly and say, okay, I got limited time. Okay, I need to be careful with that. I can't make up for the time spent. I got to put the big things first. I got to make what's really important the first thing that I do, because the priority is going to determine my capacity. And then if you can get that right, you'll begin to master your schedule. You will rule over your schedule. You will manage it well, and you will see that, wait, I have more capacity to do these other things because I did the important stuff first. Let me illustrate that for you through a video. Watch this. You got to put the big rocks in first. What has most value in your life? And when you do that, the other stuff can fit around a little bit more easily, and you end up having greater capacity. You can do more things. And that's the spiritual secret. It's like, all right, I'm going to let God control what are the big rocks. We're going to prioritize those, and we're going to make sure they get done. And then the errands, the necessary things, and then even the other stuff can all fit in if we would do it the right way. We would do it God's way. It's like when Kim and I go to Alabama, which is frequently, it's usually my job to pack the car. I got to put the big suitcases in first, make sure all the other stuff get in. Sometimes we got no room for the kids. Like, wait, let's back up. You're important. You get in too, you know? And so you figure it out. You got to put the important stuff in, what's valuable, so that everything else can fit in. And when you do the priority, you do the big things first, it works out better. What's important, do it. Make it a priority. And then the fourth strategy is this. Make your time with God a priority. It should be a big rock. It should be the biggest rock. Prior to the 1300s, mankind measured time only in hours using instruments like a sundial. It wasn't until somewhere in the 1300s, these mathematicians who were monks broke down hours into minutes and minutes into seconds. And they did that so that they could more precisely worship God. That was their end game, their goal in managing their time well. In the history of Christianity, it has been important for Christ followers to manage their time well, to precisely worship God. It has been viewed as a normal exercise for people of faith to put God first and use their time well in worshiping Him. And we should want to protect that time. It should be a big rock. It should be a priority in our life. And making God a priority requires time. Time spent on Him. The greatest evidence of love is time. T-I-M-E. When you love something, you give time to that. You love your spouse. You love your kids. You love that hobby. But if we really love God, it will be displayed through us spending time with Him. There's something rich and powerful about coming to God the first part of the day and say, I got 16 hours left or whatever it is. I want to give this first hour or the first 45 minutes or the first 30 minutes, whatever it is. I want to give this to You. You're my big rock. I'm recognizing You're the owner of this day. You're the controller of this day. You've given me this day. And so I'm going to give this to You. As an evidence of love in our relationship, I want it to be as all that it can be, and so You are my first rock. There's something rich and powerful about doing that. There's something rich and powerful about saying, I'm going to give the first day of the week to the Lord. Is that Monday? It's Sunday, actually. And that is the Lord's day. It is the day Jesus Christ came back. And so I'm going to take the word of God seriously, which says, do not neglect the habit of meeting together. And so I'm not going to neglect the habit of meeting together. And my faith family is important. And so I'm going to gather with them, and we're going to worship the Lord together. And we're going to encourage one another in this walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something rich and powerful in saying, God, not only do you have the first moments of every day, you got the first day of the week. It's Your day. And honestly, the more that time that you spend with God every day, the more this looks different. I know. Just by, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here or picky, but it is obvious when we spend time with the Lord this week, in a week time, and then we come together, our worship is different than when we ignore Him all week and then we show up and try to worship the Lord together. I promise you, there is an overflow if you've spent time with Him through the week and you can't wait to get together and rejoice with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family, to worship the Lord together. I challenge you to try it this week and spend time with Him and see how different Sunday is for you. It's not the only metric in your relationship with the Lord. We get that. We know that. But it should be a priority to say, God, I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to take the word of God seriously. I don't want to neglect the habit of meeting together because it's easy to do. I want to be with my faith family. So it's a big rock for us. It's a big rock for my family. To be with my faith family. There's something rich and powerful about saying to God, I'm going to take this Sabbath idea seriously, and I'm going to have a day of rest. You know, the whole really idea of Sabbath is to remind us we don't own our time. For the Jew, there was a hustle and bustle of on that sixth day before sundown, because the Sabbath started on sundown of Friday and ended, you'd go through Friday night into Saturday night. It was from sundown to sundown, that 24-hour period. But right before, on that Friday afternoon, before the sun would go down, and doing all the work, trying to get everything done so that their Saturday was a day of rest. And it was a reminder, hey, God, I really try to make my calendar a lot of me-centered, me-kingdom stuff. But on this day, I realized, nah, you own all of it anyway. This is your calendar. This is your day. And this is a day to trust you and know that I'm just a steward. I'm just a manager of the time that you've given me. When you dive into this relationship with God, you're going to become more sensitive to your schedule and what he wants and what he desires and what he doesn't want, what needs to come out. Where you tend to be a little bit more self-controlling of your schedule instead of just a manager. And you're going to become more pliable to God if we would just sit with him and say, what is it you want? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. It's saying God, his kingdom, his righteousness is the big rock. And then all these other things will be added to you. The work stuff. The stuff you need. Even the relationships, the places to go, the things to eat, the house, all the material stuff. Our job is first seek him, and God's job is to add. We like to kind of get that backwards. We think it's our job to add. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all things unto you. And that whole passage is about don't worry about stuff. So trust him. Lean into him. Ask him what, as a manager of the time he's given you, what he'd want you to do. Seek him first, put him first, and then let him add the rest. Our job is to seek. God's job is to add. I find it interesting that a lot of Christians say, man, I'm too busy to eat with God. Eat with God, that's funny. In a way, we are partaking of the word together. But meat would be more the word I was looking for, because meat, you do eat. And now I sound like Dr. Seuss. But I do find it interesting that a lot of people say, I don't have the time to meet with God, but yet have the time to do a bunch of other stuff, like eat, like sleep, like stream the show, go to the game. Like I said last week, it's just interesting that God's the first one squeezed out. Your last blanks, you have time for what you choose to have time for. It's a choice. It's a choice. And if we could just own that today and know it's a choice, I think that would help us. If we would just then go to God and say, what choice do you want me to make? It's a choice. And when we put him first, our capacity will be greater, and I promise we will be more productive. And then in the margin, we're going to have peace, we're going to have joy, and our capacity will be better than ever. And so today, I want to encourage you. And this really is an encouragement, because we all need to do this, is just to sit with the Lord, open up, or pull it up on your phone, whatever you use, even if it's mental or you write it. All right, God, I recognize you're in control. And so I want to make the right choice. I want to make the choices that would glorify you. Lead me through the calendar. What is it? What needs to be added? What needs to be subtracted? What needs to be changed? My time's short. I want to make the most of my time. And I'm going to trust you with this. And I'm going to make you the priority. That's set in stone. And then what else do you want? And I can promise you, your life is going to thrive, not survive. You're going to win the war against worry when it comes to your time, when it comes to your schedule, if you would just simply do that. Now, he might zap you in that moment in a positive way, and just like light bulb, your whole schedule becomes more clear. Or it might be, let's go on the journey together, start spending time with me, and then the puzzle will start to fill in. Either way, God's going to lead you if you would give him first choice. Because you're going to have time for what you choose to have time for. So start with him and ask him to fill in the rest. Lord, I pray that for our faith family. I pray that for the Hickmans. I pray that for all of us here and online. When we ask you to be our Lord and Savior, the Lord part was not just a throw-in statement. It is, you be boss. And so everything we have, we really manage. We're stewards of. We're not the owners. We're definitely not the owners of time. Our days are numbered. Teach us the brevity of life so that we may lead our lives with wisdom. And so I pray that for us today. It's a great reminder or a great new lesson to be taught that we want to manage this well for your glory, for your kingdom. We want to seek you first. And so one, I just pray we would get there, that our heart genuinely would say, I want to glorify you through this time. I want to manage it well. I want to make the most of this time for your glory and for the good of others. And then, Lord, help us to fill in the rest. And we're thankful that we can enjoy material things and we can enjoy the blessings that you have given us. Thank you for that. But God, it would be so silly of us not to ask you, not to pause and to say, God, is this good or not? Is this wise? Do I need to add or subtract? And so, Lord, just even in this moment, I pray we'd all be open to the response that you would give us. And may we create even more time to hear you out this next week. And Father, I pray, if anything is accomplished today, you would be the first rock. That our time with you would be crucial. It would be important. And then you would increase our capacity to get the things done that need to be done. So thank you for this moment. Thank you for those that gave up the time today to spend it with you in a very wise manner. And so we love you. We thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.